Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur.
Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 387 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host once again. And today my guest is Fern Chan. Now, Fern is an author, a presenter, speaker, course developer, a trainer, all working with people like us, attorneys and others, for the purposes of helping you become a more dynamic presenter, so that you never lose your audience. And as you'll hear us discuss, my viewpoint that it's not terribly unique. I think that as attorneys, we're always communicators. We're always charged with the responsibility of getting a story or getting a point across, whether it be to the bar association audience, your local, you know, community, opposing counsel, a jury, a judge. Communication is what we do business in. It's how we get our points across. And learning to become a better presenter, particularly if you have structured presentations, it is a skill set that really helps to set attorneys apart. And as you'll hear, Fern has written a book on the subject with a great title. I'll just tease you with that. And she also has a course and a workshop that she's doing here shortly. So no affiliate relationship between us. It's just something I think you might enjoy and want to be involved with. So without any further delay, let's hear from Fern Chan. Fern Chan, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Hi, thank you for having me, Neil. I am absolutely thrilled to be here.
Well, it's a delight to have you with us, Fern. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Wonderful. Well, I am an author, an educator, and a speaker. I actually have a law degree like you. However, I did not practice, but I wanted to use all my skill set, and a lot of it comes into play where in my previous day job when I worked in higher education, and a lot of it was in training. So training law enforcement officers in communication, in crisis communication. So they would then have to use their words before they have to use any other weapon on their tool belt. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it was, you know, how do I actually get these officers to understand before you do this, make sure that you're doing it under the right color of law, right? Make sure you actually, you know, are behaving in a way that you don't get sued. So a lot of it was, you know, making sure I could also break down some of these complex, you know, legal language to something that it could apply. So that, you know, I think has wide applications as well, because as you know, legalese is not meant for everyday people. So people get very confused. They don't know what happened. You know, it's like after they read the whole law, they've already forgotten what the first sentence was. So it's very convoluted and nobody knows what the hell's happened. So, and this becomes really problematic when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with law enforcement officers who then have to, you know, uphold the law a little harder when it's really hard to understand what it actually says, right? Can I actually arrest this person? Did they actually meet this burden, right? So that was fun, being able to use some of that law, legal training that I had and being able to apply it in this different way. But then I also realized that, hey, you know, teaching some of these legal concepts and other things, if these officers are falling asleep in my class, then they're not going to be able to receive this message and apply it, and lives could potentially be at stake. So for me, I had to really think about a way to, like, how do I up my communication skills when I'm presenting so nobody falls asleep, right?
And look, nothing can put an audience to sleep faster than a 30-minute presentation done, as you say, all in legalese.
Oh, yes. I'm sure we've all been to conferences where it's death by PowerPoint, right? This is like a gazillion bullet points, and the new law is this, you know? Yeah, so many of those. Yeah, but it's a shame because, you know, I always feel like we all have genius in us, and then what we have to say matters, but it's how we execute that information. So if we're not getting out what we want to an audience so they can actually, like, we can hold their attention and actually make that connection, they're not going to give a rat's ass, right? They're going to fall asleep, they're going to tune out, and then you've lost your captive audience. And it's so hard to get that engagement back once they've already tuned out, because what are they doing? They're daydreaming. They want to escape from this boredom to until your time is up. And what a shame, because you've just put in all that effort, all your knowledge for naught. And I would hate to be up there, you know, putting in all of what I know, trying to help people, only for it to fall on deaf ears.
You know, it used to be when you were boring an audience, you could tell by the glazed over look in their eyes. And now it's even easier to understand because they're not looking at you. They're looking at their phone and they're illuminated by the glow. It's even easier. So I guess the first thing I would like to explore a little bit, I mean, it's my view that being an attorney in large part is being a communicator. And getting your message across, whether it be to your client, to opposing counsel, to a jury, to a judge, doesn't matter. Your ability to communicate is central to your ability to excel as an attorney. So if I'm trying to take a critical look at my presentation skills and whether I measure up, how do I go about evaluating my own capability? How do I figure out whether I suck at this or not?
Well, you know, the first thing I always ask any of my students who come to my program to do is to take a video of yourself and do a self-assessment. Because very rarely do we put up this mirror, right, to see what do we sound like when we speak, when we present. Well, a lot of people do it in their head. And they go, oh, I'll be fine. So, you know, record yourself. How do you sound? If you don't say some of these words out, you're going to get tongue-tied, right? And I'm sure you know some of these, you know, Latin words and, you know, really long words that will trip you up if you don't actually put your mouth to actually say those words, verbalize it. So also, how many filler words do you use? Are you an umma or an ah? You don't even realize it until you hear yourself go, oh my God, I sound like a valley girl.
Right.
So that's always like a bit of a rude awakening when you take a little self-assessment to see, how am I coming across to my audience? And when you hear yourself, that's like a bit of a light bulb moment to go, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. And then you can see your body language too, if you are, you know, if you're brave enough to have all that camera on you, if they go, okay, do I cross my arms? What do I do? What are the sort of behaviors that I exhibit when I get nervous? So these are little things that you start to take note of before we even look at your content, right? So you have to sort of do a self-assessment on both ends on how do I sound? Do I have modulation in my voice? And then how do I present this information that I have? And then we sort of look at, like, you know, are you using a slide deck? What is it that you're trying to convey? So all those sort of things that, you know, that will help you right from the start as to how you can engage your audience so they're actually going to be leaning in to listen to you.
Yeah, it's ironic that it's never been easier to record yourself, to do a dry run in front of the camera. You know, 10 years ago, it was a little more difficult. 20 years ago, you had to have special equipment to be able to do that. Now, you know, every Tom, Dick, and Harry has a phone that records video, and it can't be any simpler, and yet it's still one of the things that people don't do in terms of getting ready for a presentation or, you know, an oral argument. It's really a tool that should be exploited more often.
Well, just because it's simple doesn't mean it's easy, right?
Well, right.
Yeah.
And oftentimes the results are such that, like, I don't want to do that again.
Right.
So when I started recording videos on a regular basis, and I work with this group called videosocials.net, if our listeners are at all interested. And one of the things that we do is record a video every week. And I started picking up on really small things that I think if I had only watched myself, you know, rehearse a presentation once, I may not have picked it up. But going back to the well and seeing the videos and critiquing them, as you said, I started to pick up little things. Like, I always would, my eyes would drift up and look up and to the right of camera, of the audience. And I think it was kind of like a reflex of thinking about what I was saying or pausing for effect. But the same, I always look in the top right corner, left, if you were watching it from the viewer's perspective. I don't think I would have picked that up had I not repeatedly done that same self-critical analysis.
Yeah. I mean, one should be kind, right? Be kind to yourself when you're doing self-assess.
Well, true. Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll never do it again. Go, oh my God, I totally sucked it, you know, and then, you know, you'll be completely devastated. However, all you attorneys out there know, if you have to get up in court and have to present your case, you know, you have to overcome this fear of public speaking. So I don't think that'll be an issue is, you know, I sort of think more of like, you know, what happens if you have to explain certain things to lay people, right? Your client, or how would you actually tell somebody, like, these are the services that I offer you and what makes me stand out? So one of the things that I also would say would be helpful too is, you know, how can you tell people, right? How are you going to solve this problem for them? Right? Without going into all the sort of technical legalese, like, how can I help you solve this problem? Because, you know, people know that you can provide that Tylenol for their headache. They're going to go to you to go, oh my gosh, I'm going to go to Neil because Neil knows how to fix this problem that I have, which might be estate planning or whatever that may be that you offer, right? And then it's like, oh my God, Neil knows because Neil has a family. He knows about generational wealth. He knows how to protect all my assets. And I'm going to go to him because he tells a compelling story and I can relate. So a big part of it too is relatability. How do you as an attorney become relatable to your client?
If there's that perceived wall, you're never going to be able to overcome the lack of a relationship there. I want to follow up though with the filming yourself as an example of how that helped prepare. Sure. I think also like the next step is practicing it in front of somebody who is, you know, typically your audience. Like,
absolutely. Oh, yes.
You know, God bless my wife. I mean, I've had to rehearse closing arguments and presentations in front of her more times than she cares to remember. But it's really helpful because she didn't go to law school and, you know, she's just a regular consumer like everybody else. So it really gave me insight as to whether or not I was making things understandable and clear.
Yeah, that is so good. I in my book, I actually did mention this, right? When you do your preparation and you do a dress rehearsal, try to find an audience member that, you know, that doesn't know anything about your industry. Because right. If that's the case and they can understand what you're saying, then you know, right? You've communicated clearly, you've gotten your message across, and they get it. Because this is where we lose people. Either there's too much jargon, it goes over their head. And once when information goes over, you know, when and sort of the cup runneth over with information, people stop listening.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and can answer in English and Spanish, and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, LexiClara, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up
to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's five or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top line revenue to bottom line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com.
One of the things I think we as attorneys also often do is we jump into the story midstream. We presume that our audience has a factual understanding or a logical understanding of where we're taking them, and we forget to lay the foundation, which is ironic, because if you're presenting to a jury, you want to lay that foundation first so that they can understand the argument you made later. But I see it happen so frequently with attorneys. Has that been your experience in other industries where people, they forget to lay that foundation of understanding?
Yeah, they make the assumption that people know. Only because, you know, when you are your subject matter expert, you know these things. You also assume that people know these things because it is like second nature to. And also, if you've been presenting on this topic for quite a while, right, you tend to forget. This becomes a knowledge becomes a curse. You forget that other people may not have the benefit of all your years of knowledge. So it sounds kind of like basic for you to break it down, but you, there's always somebody in the audience who's listening to you for the first time, who's getting this information for the first time, and they need to know what on earth is happening. So it's, you know, classic storytelling, right? Like you mentioned before, you don't just jump into the middle. People have to know what the plot is about. Start with the beginning. What is the challenge? What is it that you have to overcome? How do we get there? How do we solve this problem? Do we get there? Paint the stakes. What happens when we can fix it? What happens when we can't, right? Because then people go, oh my God, now I need to know to listen to see what happens in the story. But we have to lay it out. So we're like peppering the storyboard, right? What's happening? So this is like, hey, this is the problem. This is the case that we've been presented. And then now we are in this pickle. So the challenge is, right, that's your meat and potatoes of your story and your case. And then how are you going to present that solution for your audience? So this way they can follow on this journey. I mean, I always like to liken these things to how do I use Star Wars as an example, right? I call it like the Jedi order of things. There's a journey, right? When you're presenting, what do you want your audience, your listeners to experience? So what is the journey? Where are you going to take them from point A to point B? And then the E is for the experience. What do you want them to feel? And this is so true. I'm going to paraphrase Maya Angelou here because she did say, right, people don't remember what you say, but they remember how you make them feel. So as you're telling the story, as you're giving them this journey of how you're going to overcome this challenge, make it visceral. People need to feel the pain, right? Or hunger or whatever it is, because they will remember that feeling. And, you know, if it's something that's like like I said, visceral, it's going to like jar them out of this stupor. It's going to go, oh my God, that's me. Or like, oh, I never want to feel that again, because people act because they want to avoid pain more than go towards pleasure, right? And you know, people seek attorneys for a reason. They're in some kind of trouble or pickle, or they need to like make sure they don't get into a mess. So there's always a little bit of that pain in there that you can paint that picture for them. And then, you know, the D is like the destination, that endpoint, right? Where is this going to? How is this going to resolve itself? This is where we need to get to. And then the I is the impact, right? What action do you want them to take? How is it going to impact their life when they do these sort of things? Paint that picture of the transformation that they will get at the end when it's a successful resolution. But if it's not, what will that also look like for them? So they buy into the story and they know where this is going. So I think when you sort of use like a storytelling motif to, you know, get people to buy into it, they can go, oh, now I can see it, rather than get so bogged down in the details of legalese, right? Let's sort of, you know, let's try to see how we can carry our client through these areas where they can go from point A to B and then, you know, plant out this journey for them and get them to feel along with you. You know that there's an endpoint, and then know that, you know, there's an impact to the actions that are going to be taken.
Well, I really like that structure, that mnemonic for helping to understand the value of storytelling. I think a lot of times myself, I've been perfectly guilty of this, have failed to step back and look at the larger picture, the arc of where I want to take the listener, and then kind of just jumped into outlining what I think I need, the material I need to cover. And unless you approach it from that kind of framework, as you just described, you know, you're probably going to find your presentation outline, your slide deck, what have you, is strong in some areas, but you've missed the overall arc of the process and the story. So this is something that's described more completely in your book, is it not?
Yeah. So I do go through that in, where I go through that in one of the chapters. I also have another formula called the C3PO formula that sort of lays out also my
All in on Star Wars.
I am a big Star Wars nerd. I really, you know that, but I understand that people out of here have not seen a Star Wars movie. It's okay. No shade. But it, again, right, using storytelling, people who can relate to that, you know, how right. do you use mnemonic devices to help people remember these things, right? So C3PO, you know, you need to have clarity on the purpose, the people, the place, and give people only what they need to know. So, you know, I sort of stretch it out a little bit so this way you don't overwhelm your audience with the information, but you're also clear on the purpose of your presentation. You're clear on your people. You're clear on the audience that you're delivering it this to. And you're also clear on, like, am I doing this in person? This is your place, right? Or is this going to be virtual? How does this affect how I present this information? And how much time have I been given? So all these things help you also then format your presentation in a way for maximum engagement and connection with your audience. Because you don't want to lose the plot. You don't want to lose your audience. Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about the book. The book's called How to Not Suck at Presentations, which I think says it all right there. How did the book come about, and what was your process for writing it? What were you trying to accomplish in doing so?
So the book came about at the height of the pandemic. I was still, you know, home. This was 2021. And I was, you know, stuck in a lot of Zoom meetings and Zoom presentations. Now, I give a lot of presentations as part of my job. And, you know, I'm used to doing it in person and used to doing it virtually. But it was just getting to a point where this is like, oof, this is getting terrible. We've got a lot more zombies, and there's a lot more information that's just getting lost out there in the ether, right? And I just felt so bad for these presenters out there, because I said to myself, I wouldn't want to be in that position where when I, at the end, after all my effort, and I said to the audience, does anybody have any questions? And all I heard were either snores or crickets. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Right? How deflating is that? And how sucky is that feeling? I would never want any presenter to feel that way. But then I also think about the poor audience, right? They just like gave up their time and they didn't remember a word that you said. So I thought, you know what? There has to be a better way to do this. Let me pull all together my arsenal and you know, pull together the things that worked for me and also the things that didn't work. I too was a death by PowerPoint back in the day. Like, we didn't know any better. We just followed a bad example and thought, this is how we present information. bullet point, not the bullet point. And then we have like the issue of then people using it like a teleprompter. That's the worst case scenario, right? The presenter gets up there and it's just like a slide full of text and then it's just start reading off verbatim. And you're like, oh my God, why am I here if I can just like read the slide myself?
Oh, the part of that I like is when the presenter turns around and looks at the screen behind them, showing them back to the audience as they read the slide to their audience. I always find that.
I know. So it's like they use it as a crutch. And I thought like, this is not how you need to present information. So I wrote the book, part of it to alleviate a lot of the death by PowerPoint and the Zoombie situation that we were all experiencing at the height of the pandemic. But also recognizing that, hey, when we come out of this and we get back to in person, you know, we're going to have to also understand our means of communication, right? We just cannot be putting up so much information up there that it overloads the senses to the point that people are not listening anymore. And, you know, it's just such a shame because really your genius in you is worth listening to, but we just got to make sure we can help you with the execution so that your words matter.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that interests me is that I'm told that in addition to just how to structure your presentations and how to deliver the presentations, you also delve into how to critique your presentations and how to go about getting better and bigger opportunities. Is that right?
Yes. So it's, you know, and nothing, everybody starts at zero, right? At some point, you know, you might start, you know, at the...
And not everybody aspires to be a speaker too.
Correct. I mean, this could be some people just have to do it as a function of their job. They may not want to do it, but it's like, you are the, you know, you're the accountant. You're going to have to like present numbers or whatever it may be, right? They may not be natural speakers, but they still have to get up because it is a function of their job. Okay, so you have to do it anyway. I want to make sure then you do it to the best of your ability, but you can also communicate this so upper management can see how competent you are and they know that you know what you're doing. And this way also, you know, you never know what opportunities are there for you that can then give you like the next promotion, right? And if you're an entrepreneur and you have to pitch your service, how are you going to make that connection with your potential clients so they can say, I want to work with you because you understand my pain and that you have a solution and I want in. But you can't do that if it's all legalese and you've already lost them at you know, slide number two. So, you know, those are sort of things like how do we make sure that you are in your most authentic element, that you are creating connections with people to get your message out in this world.
Tell me a little bit then how and I think if I have this correctly, the book then morphed into a course that you offer. Or was it the other way around?
No. I wrote the book and then, you know, people say, well, this is great, you know, as your guide, you can just read it. I have it as an ebook as well as a paperback. But there are some things that I couldn't show, like technical elements. How do I, it's hard, you know, some things are hard to show, to write out. It's like, this is where you click this button. This is how you upload these sort of things. This is how you make the most of some of the technology that you would use if you are presenting and you want to do all these sort of things, right? To create engagement with your audience. So the course goes a little deeper in some of those technical elements. And then also it just, you know, some people are better visual learners.
Here's me raising my hand. Yeah, I am a much better visual learner than I am, you know, reading a manual or reading a book. I love reading the books. I pour through a lot of them, but for things to really resonate with me, I like seeing it in action. I like
exactly,
you know, the video component, and you know, for me, that's what works best. So, a coaching program in this arena, I think, is something that would resonate with a lot of folks because, as you said, there's one point to reading it and understanding it. There's a whole another level in implementing it. And unless unless you follow up with implementation, you're really just, I think, meditating.
Well, that's the difference between self-help and shelf-help, right? But if you don't execute, it becomes shelf-help. So the digital course is like the next step. Hey, if you really want to learn it in a different format so you can actually follow along and do the work, great. But, you know, I also take it to a next level where I do offer a group coaching program that's live, that's that, you know, we connect, you show up, you do the work, you have accountability, you actually, prepare and present. And then you have a group actually listening to what you have to say and you get your live audience. So there's no excuse to not get your work done. So, you know, there's three levels of where you can actually step in and say, okay, if I'm one of those people that sign up for courses but never finish because I can think, oh, I can do it anytime, but you don't actually do it, then you need a little bit more hand-holding and accountability. So, you know, it's one of those things that where does it fit your learning style best to get the most out of what you want to improve your presentation skills?
Well, I think that's really an important component to it. And, you know, some things that are perhaps best suited to book learning. I think we're talking about presentations and live connections with an audience, whether it be the bar association or your local neighborhood community that you're marketing or, you know, other attorneys. I don't think there's any substitute for that kind of hands-on, get involved, you know, training.
It's the help you roll up your sleeves component.
Yeah.
Getting in there and do it. And it's okay if you mess up, right? Like, do it messy, do it scared anyway, because you'll never get better unless you take that first step to, you know, to test it out and do it in a safe environment. That's the key thing about having a group coaching, right? You're in a safe environment with other people who are in the same boat as you, who also need to prep themselves up and figure out, like, I need to tweak this and that. And you know that, hey, we're all here for the same goal here. And let's, you know, lift everybody up with some constructive feedback.
Well, just to make it clear to our audience, I have no business connection with Fern. I'm not here to sell an affiliate link or, you know, do anything of that nature. I just think what she does is really important. And I love that she has this different level of products that you can take advantage of. So tell our audience, by way of wrapping this up, how they can obtain your book, how they can get involved in your coaching program or your one-on-one instructions.
Absolutely. And thank you, Neil, for having me on your show and inviting me on to your to speak to your listeners. So you can find my book on Amazon. My name is Fern Chan, and if you look up How to Not Suck at Presentations, it will pop up there. And you can go to my website, fernchan.com, Fern like the leaf, Chan like Jackie. Hopefully y'all know who Jackie Chan is. And you find information on how you can work with me, can get access to the book. You can also see the course and also the one-on-one program. But just as a side note, Neil, I am actually running a workshop on Friday, October 13th. Called How to Solve the Crime of Death by PowerPoint.
So, oh, great.
See you, listeners. Go to my website and you'll be there.
You can get to that workshop via your website?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So,
up today.
So the 13th is
Friday the 13th.
Hopefully. Friday the 13th. So, you know, later on this week, if you're listening to this live, yes, on or about October 9th. Okay, well, Fern, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. It was a joy to have you on, and I look forward to seeing you again at some point in the near future.
Thank you so much, Neil, and thank you, listeners, for listening in and supporting Neil's wonderful podcast.
Thanks again for being a guest on The Law Entrepreneur. Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode. Our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them. And I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO. As I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive
rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.